Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.
Sponsored by Tranquil Mind by Vibe Massage and Wellness. It is the holiday season. Get your holiday gift cards now. Great discounts for those who purchase before Black Friday. And then the week of Black Friday, we're actually giving some extra special discounts as well. Great gift packages for any member of the family, for your office or for your home. You can contact me at facebook.com/TQMind. Go to my inbox here on my Facebook site here. You can tweet me at rsteve44, or you can go to tqmindbyrod.gr8.com and call 240-778-5219 to schedule your appointment. And once again, that's Tranquil Mind by Rod. Get your gift packages now. And we are going into the holiday season on a solemn note here in the district. Tonight, we're talking about the life and legacy of Mayor Marion Barry, Mayor of Washington. He was not the current mayor of Washington, D.C., but everybody looks at Marion Barry as the mayor for life when it comes down to Washington, D.C. And his impact is not just a local thing. And for those who grew up in, growing up in the 80s and 90s, there were numerous prominent figures that were coming up as far as politics and African-American history. You had, being a New Yorker, you had David Jenkins becoming the first African-American mayor of New York City. You had Gray Davis out in L.A. And those are very prominent figures because they were first African-American mayors of major cities in this country. And you have Douglas Wilder, who was the first African-American governor of any state, period. And for him to be the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, that had a very big, profound impact on politics and Black history as well. But no matter what, I feel that no major political figure in African-American history created such a stir, such a balance of pride and balance of conflict, the balance of good and bad. You either loved him or despised him more so than Marion Barry. Marion Barry, he was a person that fought for his city, fought for the rights of the people of his city until the day of his passing. I mean, even as early as last week, he was involved with the rebuilding of Southeast D.C. in regards to this new soccer stadium that they want to build down there, as far as how they make sure that it's not going to affect the housing around there, making sure that it revitalizes his ward, Ward 8, which is the southeastern part of Washington, D.C. And he had a very firm hold on what was going on in our community and in our city. And we're going to take a little time and just kind of go into how he embodied D.C. in general, how he impacted not only Black history but American history. And this is just something that I felt that it was very special that we talk about this today, because a lot of people don't realize how impactful Marion Barry was, not only in our culture and our society, but in the country as a whole. The thing is, you got to look at how he started, how he came to D.C., how he built to become who he was in the city. You know, son of a sharecropper, coming from the Deep South, being a member of SNCC, right in the heart of the Civil Rights Movement. People remember three major figures that see when you think of SNCC. For those who don't know what SNCC is, SNCC was a council that was made mostly by students in the South to fight for civil rights. And the three figures that everybody think of when it comes down to SNCC was Representative John Lewis out of Georgia, who was part of the Greensboro Nine, was really impactful in the march from Selma to Montgomery. Then you had Stokely Carmichael, who was a more vocal, a more active side of, a more radical side of the civil rights movement, really trying to fight more on the revolutionary side instead of sitting back and waiting for government to do things. Stokely Carmichael was a little more proactive when it came down to what he felt was necessary to get things done. Marion Barry, in comparison to Representative Lewis and Stokely Carmichael, was that person that was right in the middle. He was that one that understood the concept of the nonviolent movement, but also felt there needed to be a push that wasn't being done by government, and was trying to get on that, you know, getting more on the revolutionary side as well. So he was that middle ground between Representative Lewis and Stokely Carmichael. And there was a really good documentary that came out a couple of years ago called The Nine Lives of Marion Barry. And this really broke down a lot that people don't know about Marion Barry when it came down to his activism, when it came down to how revolutionary he was. He came into the political force in the late 60s, early 70s, here in Washington, D.C., just, you know, big afro, daishiki, you know, black power going, you know, black power movement going. He was in the forefront of politics through all that and took the District of Columbia to another level at that time. And unfortunately, even to this day, there's still a lot of rights that D.C. residents do not have. At the time when Marion Barry came to D.C. and decided he wanted to take residency in D.C. because, according to Representative Eleanor Holmes Norton, who was out there with him, with SNCC, she said that he felt the best way to combat what was going on and to really fight in the forefront of the civil rights movement is to come to where the politics are being made and see if he can be right in their face each and every day. And that's Washington, D.C. So when he came to D.C., D.C. had no representation. Congress was in control of every single aspect of what went on with the residents of Washington, D.C. They would get taxed, but those taxes were not going into the schools, were not going into community, were not going into the different elements of Washington, D.C. where it was necessary, because Congress didn't feel it was necessary to take care of the infrastructure of Washington, D.C. He came in here, shook things up, and made it impactful, so that way he got on the board and made sure that things were being done and they had representation. So eventually, Washington, D.C. got representation in Congress. And they didn't even have a mayor when he came into town. There was no mayor in Washington, D.C. D.C. was considered, it is a district. So it was a government-run district that was separate from every other entity in this country. Every small town, every small jurisdiction, every township, every city has a mayor, except for the District of Columbia, completely run by Congress. But because of his presence and because of his force and because of the way he spoke and the way he presented the case and presented the cause, he changed the way that D.C. government was run to the point where they had no choice but to make sure that D.C. had a mayor. Because if D.C. didn't have representation, Marion Barry was going to be in there shaking Congress down until that result came where representation was coming. That's how impactful he was. There was no mayor until he came to D.C. He became the first elected mayor in Washington, D.C. And that impact reverberated through the country, saying that, oh, wow, he came in there and he took on Congress firsthand and made sure that D.C. got representation. And his impact was felt from then all the way to now in regards to how U Street is rebuilt in Washington, D.C., how 14th Street, which was Black Broadway, has been revitalized, how Southeast D.C., which was an area not even 10 years ago where people wouldn't even want to set foot in, now has all these new amenities, all these new facilities. You have the new base at the baseball stadium down there. Have the, you know, right there on the southeast-southwest border. You got the soccer field that's coming in the southeast. You have all this, all these new buildings and new facilities that are around Martin Luther King Avenue and Malcolm X Avenue, trying to get, trying to revitalize Washington D.C. This was all the works of Marion Barry, and he's been, he did this up until the day of his passing this morning, and that's how impactful Marion Barry was. Unfortunately, people see him nationally in a whole different light. And like I said earlier, he embodied everything about D.C., the good, the bad, the hustle, the indifference, everything that, that D.C. is all about was in Marion Barry. Like I said, all these positives, the civil rights activism, the revolutionary that he was, the visionary that he was, to see into the future projects of Washington, D.C., to make it that marquee city to go to. A lot of times it's overshadowed nationally by when he got caught out there, you know, with crack. And that's the thing. People who don't know what he's about, Marion Barry, like, oh, yeah, he was the mayor that got caught out with crack back in the 90s. And that's all people think about. And it's unfortunate that that particular incident and some of the side hustles that he did, he was a hustler. But a lot of times when he was hustling for the benefit of the city. And, you know, the but the negative aspects always overshadow and cloud all the positive influences that he had in this community. If you think about the impact, I mean, his impact was so big, even after he did his time in jail for smoking and using crack, even after he did time in jail for tax evasion and the little and the hustle and the financial hustles that he was doing, he came back out, ran for office, and was reelected again. So that shows the impact that he had on Washington, D.C., that the people of the citizens of Washington, D.C., from all aspects, re-elected him as mayor of Washington, D.C. after everything went down. So people can say what they want about Marion Barry, but he was a very strong and prominent person when it came down to politics. And for those who are listening, I would like to hear your thoughts on Marion Barry, 347-850-1228. Let me know what you think. If you have any thoughts or anything that you would like to say about the mayor and about how impactful he was in our society. Because there's a lot of different things that I saw about, you know, people who come in contact with him. Everybody that came in contact with him said the same thing, how he genuinely cared about the people of D.C. and just about the citizens here. He truly took on the whole light in regards to how Washington, D.C. is represented, how its people were represented, how its community were represented. Because with the misrepresentation of those citizens in Southeast, he felt that it was very important that there was a voice for the people of Southeast D.C. in particular, and Washington, D.C. in general. That was missing in Congress. That was missing in just the whole different element of everything that was going on with the district and with Washington, D.C. in general. It's very unfortunate when people think about, when people look at all the aspects of Marion Barry's life, and they just take that little snippet of 2-3 years with tax evasion, 2-3 years with the crack that he had, but don't look at all the positive things that he did for the people of Washington, D.C., and for just politics, African Americans and politics in general. He was such a strong figure that when you see people running for mayor and running for Congress in other jurisdictions, you have to look at how much Marion Barry influenced them as far as not backing down with your opinions, not backing down with the voice that you have. So these are some of the things that Marion Barry was able to do with his time in politics and with his time on this earth when it comes down to taking a stand and making people proud to say that he was their mayor for life. And that's the impactful thing. You're listening to The Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toilet Productions, Toilet Entertainment, and we are talking about the life and legacy of Mayor Marion Barry, first mayor of Washington, D.C. A lot of people feel like he's the only mayor of Washington, D.C., because even when he was on the council, he was calling shots, taking names, and making sure that everybody was held accountable for themselves when it comes down to how he represented Washington, D.C., how he represented African Americans in general in politics. So that's what we're talking about here, such an impact, such a legacy. And we actually have a call from North Carolina. Caller, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Sure, Mr. Stevenson.
Yes, and just tell me your thoughts about the life and legacy of Mayor Marion Barry.
Actually, I grew up in D.C. in the 80s, long before your time, and he did have an impact on Washington, D.C. I actually lived in Southeast D.C. before moving to Forestville, Maryland, and then later relocating to Charlotte, North Carolina. I do remember him as a kid when he was running for mayor. Unlike today when they do all these commercials, he was actually out in the streets promoting, riding up and down the street with a bullhorn in D.C. saying, "Vote for Marion Barry for mayor." And I was surprised to hear about his death today, but he has done an excellent job in D.C. And it's unheard of anybody that's, like, being set up, going to jail, and then coming back and being reelected to a government seat.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, that really shows just the impact overall that Mayor Marion Barry had on not only just D.C., but politics in general. And I really appreciate that call. And that's coming from someone who lived and grew up in D.C. at that time. You know, like I said, I was in New York and at that time, and, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s. And it was just the fact that, you know, you don't hear how much of an overall impression Marion Barry had until you live in the area and you see what's going on. You know, just when I'm just coming into this area and just seeing how everybody talks about their mayor, talks about Marion Barry, just, you know, just see that, you know, no matter what, he was a person, he was that figure, he was that person that stood out in politics, stood out in the community, and was always there, always every council session, every council meeting, whatever political debate or any type of thing was going on, he was there. Even when he couldn't stand, even with a wheelchair, a wheel out there, he was going to be there no matter what. And that's the impact that he has. So now we say, what's next? Not only what's next for D.C. politics, what's next for national politics when it comes down to the African-American community? And that is the challenging part. He's one of the last, I'd say, of a breed that, like the caller was saying, Ms. Stewart from North Carolina there, we were calling, talking about how he was out there before all the campaign videos and all the different PAC groups that put all the funding in. He still was a person that would walk to your door, shake your hand, they vote for me. He did that just even a couple of years ago, running for re-election for city council. No, he didn't do a lot of, he doesn't have to do a lot of politicking per se to tell people who he was. You know who he was because he'll be there every day fighting for the area. And that's something that we are losing as politics in general, and especially in the African American community when it comes down to running for election. We've got so caught up. I mean, the past, thinking about the past election here in Washington, D.C., where Muriel Bowser, who is going to be the first female mayor of Washington, D.C., she did it along the same lines, in essence of, she took the blueprint that Mayor Barry set up, saying instead of doing all the campaign videos and the campaign commercials that her opponents were doing, to take it to the streets, lay low, and just let your actions speak for yourself. And And just because of that, I think that had a big impact on having Muriel Bowser win the election in D.C. because it was just something that she said, I'm going to take the time, I'm going to just lay low, let my actions speak for myself, and just push forward like that. You're not going to see that too often in politics now. You're not going to see that too often, especially in African-American politics. We're losing our community aspect. And Marion Barry was a pioneer in just a community aspect. Like I said, he took on Congress. He took on the council. He took on even the mayors that came after him and stood his ground when it came down to certain things that they were overlooking. The big thing that comes to mind a few years back when Adrian Fenty was the mayor of D.C. and there was a lot of issues that were going on where people felt that Mayor Fenty was trying to appease his constituents in the Capital District, trying to appease those in Northwest, which is the more affluent white districts of D.C. And Marion Barry took him to task and told him, no, yes, they might have helped you get elected, but these are your people. These are the ones that are going to be there for you no matter what. And he was trying to relay that message to Adrian Fenty. Adrian Fenty stuck with saying, I'm going to focus on the upper third of D.C. And it did affect how D.C. is designed now. The gentrification of D.C. came during really hard and strong during the Fenty administration. And Marion Barry fought hard to make sure that gentrification and the revitalization of D.C., quote-unquote, did not affect Ward 8 and Ward 7. Ward 8 is, like I said, the southeastern part of D.C. Southeast D.C. is still growing, it's still building, but it's being built in a different way than what's going on in parts of Northwest, in, say, the Capital District, in the U Street corridor, which is where once upon a time it was prominent, affluent African-American community. And now you walk there, you can't even recognize half the places because they have been so whitewashed, in essence, because they're trying to bring a certain group of people, mostly from Northern Virginia and places like Montgomery County, and those who are transient and coming from other areas, to make it seem like, oh, this is comfortable. I can come here as an affluent person, as a fluent Caucasian person into the area. But Marion Barry's vision of D.C. maintain its status as a quote-unquote chocolate city, but still grow it economically where it has the power and it has the representation to be fully autonomous and not have to depend on Congress for anything. And this is why he got a lot of bad press, because Congress knows that if the District of Columbia has the power and has the autonomy that they want, then they will not have their cushy places that they have now in the Capital District and then going up Connecticut Avenue, Chevy Chase, in that particular area. They know that things would change dramatically if they give the people of D.C. the power to run their government the way it is ideal for D.C. That's why up until the day of his passing, Marion Barry was fighting for rights, fighting for succession from Congress, fighting for a right to be considered its own entity. And it's still a battle that's going to go on. And unfortunately, because Marion Barry is not there shaking people down, knocking on the doors, and trying to bust down these walls that Congress has on D.C., I think this issue is going to go away for a while. Because right now, Eleanor Holmes Norton is the only one of that era, of that time, that you know, been fighting for these rights for 40, 50 years, that is still around, and that's sad aspect, because people across the country don't recognize how much of an impact that not having rights have on the District of Columbia, because people don't realize it. Imagine if the people of New York City was run by Congress. Imagine if Chicago or Philadelphia or Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, any of those places were run by Congress. So therefore, the citizens of that city do not really have total say over what's going on. Anytime a bridge needs to be refurbished or refinished, anytime the metro system needs to be taken care of, anytime buses need to be added, anytime the housing in the city needs to be taken care of, the council members will make a ruling, and then it has to go through Congress, and it sits in the Congress hands. It sits in the hands of the House to decide what goes on with the citizens of D.C. So we know we can't even get a simple bill passed through Congress without arguments and delays. So you know if it doesn't have anything to do with them, which is basically what happens with these bills that come through from D.C., you know what they're doing. They're not going to get done. It's not going to be implemented because of the fact that they really don't care. Most of these Congress people, those who do not live in D.C., they live in Arlington, they live in Alexandria. They live in those places because they don't want to deal with the hassle of being a part of a citizenship in D.C. And that's where the breakdown comes. When the laws, rules, and regulations of the city are being run by people who don't care, people who are just coming in for 2, 4, 6 years, and or even if they are long-term Congress people, they really have no bearing on what's going on or no recognition on what's going on outside of their trip to the Capitol and back home, that it has a long-lasting effect on the citizens of D.C. And that's the big issue. Who's going to be that next person to step up? Who's going to be that next person that's going to take that stand and going to say, hey, this is not right. People of D.C. need to have the right. People of D.C. need to be represented just as if they were any other part of the country. And that's going to be a question that a lot of people are going to be asking themselves over the next few months. And the impact that Marion Barry's passing is going to have on the city, on the city council, on politics in general, is going to be felt for a very, very long time. And this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And I just felt this was a very special report that we had to talk about. I said, Marion Barry, Mayor for Life, passed today at the age of 78. And I just have to say it's going to be a really sad day during his funeral here. And it's going to be something that's really going to reverberate through a lot of people in this area. It's going to really have a big impact on the people and the citizens of this city. And I just hope that the city pulls together under the new mayor. Ward 8 now has to find a new council that's going to ideally represent them the same way Mayor Barry represented them, with the same passion, with the same vigor, with the same energy that he did, to allow them to really build and to really grow into the next steps of what's needed for Ward 8 of D.C., what's needed for Washington, D.C. in general. And I feel that American politics has lost a great legend in Marion Barry. And this is what we're talking about today. I have a few minutes left. Once again, I thank you for listening each and every week to the Rise TV Show. I had a couple of different things planned out, but when something breaks like that, it is very important that we talk about these particular topics. So next week, we're going to touch on what happened the past couple of days with the immigration and President Obama, the executive order. That's the topic that I was going to mention this week, but we're going to kick on that next week. Tune in tomorrow to Love Talk. And tomorrow's Love Talk topic is I Love Myself. And this here is just about the impact. We've been talking about identity all month, and we talked about physical identity. Now we're going to talk about internal identity and how the advent of the selfies and Instagram and Snapchat and all these different posts that we do online has it really skewed who we really are as people, and how much does social networking have impact on our identity, how we see ourselves, as well as how people see us on the outside. So once again, this is Mr. Ron Stevie, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment, and until next time, we'll talk.
Intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity.